This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are live at the Beacon Building. We're at 814 Elm Street right in downtown Manchester, and you are listening to 1077 WTPL. You can also stream us on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com, and it is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, we'd love for you to give us a call. It's 866-823-1077. And in for Mike Morin today is my friend, Alan Vonderhoff. So welcome, Alan, to Food for Thought.
Nice and, to be back.
Yeah. I always love having you on the radio with me.
Thank you.
Bumped into you the other day, and I said, Alan,
anytime.
I have something for you to do.
I love talking about myself, so, you know, that's not a problem.
So what's happening?
I took your advice last night and went over to Puerto Vallarta. I believe they're one of your sponsors, correct?
Yes, they are.
For the first time. And just got a margarita for my research and had some of their wonderful guacamole. So I was talked to Carlos. I guess he's the brother of the owner.
Yes.
So I said, give me what Carol has. And he said, what, a hard time?
So, of course.
Yeah. No, it was very, very nice. Very good margarita. Small little place.
Yep.
Packed in there. I had never realized it's even in there.
I know.
If listeners have not been there, it's right by Unwind across the parking lot back in there. So I haven't been back there in a long time.
Yeah, right next to Casey's. Casey's is right there, too. So it's like all, you know, all right there. Yeah. Right. And they've been there. They just celebrated their second anniversary.
That's what Carlos told me.
Yeah.
And I thought it was only open maybe 9 months. So.
Yeah.
But they don't have any signage outside.
They just said they have that one sign like on Second Street, but it I agree with you. It kind of like blends in. You can't,
right.
can't really see it too,
right.
too much. Yeah, I agree. But they're advertising with us now, so hopefully, you know, we're getting
sure.
some more customers. But they're pretty busy. How were they busy last night? Were they? I mean, it's a Monday, so
yeah, it's a Monday. I was there about 5:30, maybe 5:00, and people were coming in.
Yeah,
the bar is small, 6-seater.
Yeah,
but the tables were filling up.
Yeah. I mean, usually on the weekends, you usually have to wait in line. I'll call Carlo first, and I'll say, Carlo, is there anything at the bar? Save it for us.
Right. No, they were very, very nice.
Yeah.
And what else?
And how'd you like the guacamole?
It was great. I actually had a carryout, brought it home. My wife absolutely loved it, so she was all excited.
And now, do you guys like spicy?
I like spicy. That's what we got.
So. Did you say make your guacamole a little bit spicy? Because you can say that.
Right. They asked me.
Oh, good.
And I said, yeah, I want spicy.
Good, so because we say that all the time now.
Otherwise, it's too bland.
I agree.
And I'm finally finishing up on the margarita book. That's why I didn't go to Puerto Vallarta.
Hard research you have to do.
Yeah,
there,
and you know, I know for your people who listen to your show and have heard me before, I've been talking about this for several years now. They must think the book's going to be the size of Tolstoy's War and Peace or something like that, and it's not. But you get brain cramps, and you kind of hit a wall for a while.
Of course.
And when I'm done, my lovely wife and I went down to Nantucket a couple weeks ago, celebrating our wedding anniversary. And we work for ourselves, and we just checked out. And I took that opportunity to really work on the book.
Good.
And what I'm doing is something different, is I'm working in reverse. I knew how I wanted to end it. So I worked on the epilogue. And in the meantime, I've gotten some more ideas how I'm going to just fill the gap. And so I'm very close to having that done. Once that's done, it'll be called Searching for Margarita. It's a companion piece to my first book, Searching for Mary.
As in Bloody Mary, listeners.
Bloody Mary.
I'm sure some of you out there, Alan's been on the show from time to time in the past, so
yeah.
Yes.
And so this is in a continuation. It's very autobiographical, a lot of fun, and a little revealing.
Searching for Mary.
I gave you, you got a sneak preview. I don't know how much you've read it.
I've perused it.
Okay.
And I love the way you write, because in Searching for Mary, and you know, listeners out there, if you haven't read it, you should. Where can they get a copy?
Well, I'm out of print right now.
Okay.
So what's going to happen? I'm self-published, and I'm taking a different avenue once I get the new book done, and hopefully we'll have it on Amazon. And I'll have a fifth printing of the Searching for Mary.
Good.
And along with the
Searching for Margarita.
Margarita. Yeah.
Perfect. And it's a day read. It's a fun, perfect summer read.
It's you can have it by your bedside. You can pick it up, put it down, not miss a beat. It's short little vignettes, and it's just a lot of fun. Or at the beach, or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's about an hour read.
Yeah.
That's all it is. So
it's fun. It's fun. I like how you you put in stories from your past and
yes.
You know, your friends, and it's good. It's good. And margaritas, it's good too. So you're still searching for that margarita then?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of a play off the first book.
Right.
So it's more my summertime drink. Bloody Marys I normally have during the winter. So I'll drink anything at any time, frankly.
Now, where around do you, like, do you have a place that serves right now a favorite margarita?
Not really. Fratello's doesn't do a bad job.
Really?
Yeah, they do. I like it more Jamaican style.
Right. And Mike, too. Mike is a huge margarita person. He's really sad that he's not here today to meet you.
He mentioned yesterday about finding that lime cheese. I knew that was there. And the way I knew it was there is Shorty's uses that mix.
Mm.
And somebody there said, well, you can buy it at the New England Restaurant Supply. So it is very good. And the mixes out there can be a little funky.
Yeah.
And very fattening as well.
Well, like Mike said, the one that he got is a Jamaican one, so it's,
yes,
you know, got a lot less,
right,
less calories.
Right.
Because a margarita is pretty, and I'm on my big health kick right now.
I know you are. I know.
With Rocco watching my every move, so,
yes.
Yes.
It goes, but
I stick with red wine. That's what I've been drinking.
Well, I also like my martinis. A lot of people ask me that I should do a book.
Next one should be Searching for Martini.
Well, I address that in the new book, in the introduction. A martini is a vodka.
I read that part.
Yeah. And just because it's in a martini glass doesn't make it a martini.
It's true. I agree.
And I write in the book, you know, if you pour Schlitz beer into a martini, is that
Schlitz
the...
Schlitz-tini.
My headset's falling off here. Is that the martini that made Milwaukee famous? So, now I can't see you having enough material for a martini. I just don't believe putting chocolate sauce and stuff like that makes it a martini.
I agree, because some of them are so sweet.
Yes,
and right. I don't like that either.
Right.
I really don't like that either.
Right.
I like a good dirty martini.
Yeah, and I like mine straight up clean.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
No vermouth.
Yeah, I like it dirty. So with some blue cheese olives and hot and dirty too. At Copper Door, they do a good hot and dirty.
That's what I heard.
And it's very good. So.
Okay, well, I'll have to try that.
There you go.
By the way, how's your dog?
My dog is, well, I go tomorrow morning to the vet to get the results of her blood test. So she had a seizure. Yeah.
Right.
Molly.
So how old is she?
3.
Oh, that's too young.
Yeah, she's 3. So she's been okay since, although she's a little floppy, like she's not quite herself, but she's not, you know, she's okay. I mean, she's eating and, you know, doing her thing, and, you know, so I'll find out tomorrow morning.
We don't have a dog. We have cats that we've rescued, and then I found out I'm kind of allergic to them.
Oh.
And I have one of them in my office all day long.
Uh-oh.
Well, we segregate the female from the males because they get a little aggressive with them. So.
Oh.
So we rescued them, and now I need rescuing.
Yes. That's funny.
Yeah.
Let's see what today's food holiday is. For those of you tuning in, you are listening to Food for Thought. And in for Mike Morin today is my friend Alan Vonderhoff. He is a He's an author of Searching for Mary and coming very soon, Searching for Margarita. And you also, you're also involved with the Polo magazine,
right.
You and your wife.
Yes, my wife was a publisher of Polo Northeast magazine. We cover polo clubs all throughout New England and New York, as well as around the world. And I'm a contributing writer for that. And very nice publication.
It's a beautiful publication.
Yeah, I'm very proud of it.
Yeah.
And that's been very fun because I've had contacts throughout the world and included them in the magazine. We've had great photographers. So it's only a once-a-year publication.
And it's a magazine that you can keep it like on your coffee table. I mean, it's beautiful.
Absolutely.
Very, very nice.
Absolutely.
Very
we trended more towards Splash than we have in the past. We were kind of more article laden, but we've gotten bigger pictures, splashier pictures, nice layouts. So we had great graphic artists help us out. So we do it all out of our own home.
Yeah.
And
very
that's
nice.
Just one of our endeavors. So
there you go.
It's very nice.
Well, listeners, we have a packed show. I'm very anxious. Coming up next after the first break is Joe Ross. He is he's a mystery diner, and I was just chatting with him just a little bit before we went on in the green room, and he says that he works for quite a few companies, and he's a mystery, so like a professional mystery diner.
Right. So. I looked at his bio on the internet, and he's done a lot.
Yeah.
He's done a lot. So
I'll be kind of anxious.
So what is the food of the day?
Oh, okay. Food of the day is today. It's National Fudge Day. National Fudge Day.
Does that mean you lie a lot? Or
yeah, white chocolate fudge recipes, maple nuts. Do you like fudge?
It's too sweet.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not a sweet.
I mean, I like sweets, but it's not like my go-to thing. I'd rather have like a pile of French fries or something like that.
Well, yesterday was National Potato Day, right?
Potato Day, yes.
And it's Lobster Week.
Yes.
Ooh, I read
and
about
I think that.
That
was last week.
Is that last week?
I think
all
that
right.
might have been last week,
okay.
But they all kind of run into each other. And then the top of the second hour, we're going to be joined with Jean Kerr. She has been on Food for Thought before. She is the publisher of Northeast Flavor magazine, and that's a food magazine. She interviews chefs.
Very nice magazine.
Yeah, very nice magazine. So we'll be talking to her. And then our weekly segment with Julie Barron, Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. So stay tuned. We have Joe Ross coming up next. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And in for Mike today is Alan Vonderhoff. He is a author of Searching for Mary, and he's almost finished his Searching for Margarita. And he was at Puerto Vallarta last night searching for a margarita, I believe. And
yep.
he liked it.
And I found it.
And you found it.
And it found me.
And I just want to give a little shout out to some of our Food for Thought sponsors, Express Jewelry Center, 44 South Main Street in Concord, Precision Repair and Sales, and, of course, Puerto Vallarta Mexican Grill over on 2nd Street. You can check them out at puertovallartamgrill.com. And, of course, Integrity Health Coaching Solutions in Bedford and Londonderry, integrityfit.com, your coaching solutions company. And, of course, that's my official health club place that I go to 3 to 4 times a week, and they're following my my weight loss journey. So let's welcome on our next guest. We have with us in studio, we have Joe Ross. He is an editor and a publisher, Rostrum Publications.
Rostrum Publishing.
Publishing, Rostrum Publishing. And you're also a mystery diner.
Yes, indeed.
So I am I'm quite intrigued.
Well, everyone virtually employs mystery dining, whether it's retail companies or restaurants or absolutely everything else. There's an unlimited number. I would be surprised if your restaurants don't use mystery diners too, other than the fact that you're here and generally you don't need one if you're the owner and you're in there.
Well, I mean, I have three locations. So I did used to use one a few years ago. And, yeah, I don't anymore. But
I'm surprised, frankly, because most companies do. And I have done mystery dining in every level of restaurant, from a coffee shop to very, very high-end locations. For various reasons, there's one chain that uses me, or actually they use the company that uses me is
okay.
More accurate.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Do you approach the owners, or do you work through somebody, or you have your own contact information?
No, I do not contact any restaurant or company directly. I work through other companies who do it. When I first got into it, I think I answered an ad or I did a Google search on it and found one or two companies which I thought would handle the entire industry. Boy, was I wrong. There are not one or two companies. There are probably 100 or 200 companies.
Like in the local area?
Well, nobody's local. For instance, I do movie theater checks. The scheduler for that lives in Texas.
Okay. All right.
So a lot of these people work from home, the schedulers. God bless the internet, because obviously they get to do it, and they look at the reports, and there are editors who edit the reports before they're sent in. So I applied for a couple of companies and said, okay, this probably handles the industry. And the more I did, the more other companies I found. There is even an association of mystery shoppers, and they have a test. You can be a certified, I'm a certified shopper, and there are several different levels
so
of certification.
My wife.
Pardon me?
So is my wife.
So I got into that a little bit, and I've done literally hundreds of different restaurants and hundreds of different retail stores, probably thousands of times. I've done everything from alcohol checks to fine dining, some of which turns out to be funny, some of it not so funny.
Explain when you say alcohol checks.
I would take someone who's in an age group that's old enough to legally drink, but young enough to be below the restaurant standards.
Oh, I see. All right.
Most restaurants will have a standard. Some are check every ID that walks in the door, period. Some are check anyone that looks under 30. Others are check anyone that looks under 40. When I'm doing those, I take someone who's between 21 and 30, because that's what they insist on.
Mm-hmm.
We go in and order a drink. The test is whether the bartender, server, or whomever asks to see an ID. They're not going to ask for my ID in most cases, although I was asked for an ID the other day. It was wonderful. they'll ask for the ID. If they ask for an ID and they check it, then they've passed, and the rest is enjoying something to eat and leave, pay the bill, leave, and we're done. In other places, they're checking on a particular server. There's one chain, fairly high-end, who only uses the company I work for, and therefore me, when they want to check on a particular server because they're not sure the server's behaving properly, or they've had complaints, or they're just checking. So I will go in using a code name, so that the host knows who I am and knows which table to put me at. There's nothing worse than having the host put me at a table that's not the server they're trying to check. That serves no function except I get a nice meal.
Mm-hmm.
Really? I mean, even like go so far as you give a code name to the hostess? What if the hostess is in cahoots with the waitress?
No, never happened.
No?
No. In fact, even in the alcohol checks that I do, the manager knows who I am in many cases because I've been in there so many times, but the manager will never tell the bartender or the server the mystery shopper's here, because they don't want the bartender to know. They're testing the bartender as well as I'm testing.
Right.
It serves no function if everybody knows who
is. I do understand that, but it sounds like you're pretty well known around. Like they must be starting
sometimes.
To...
Well, I do go to restaurants other than when I'm doing shops. I don't tell people which one is a shop and which one is because I happen to like the restaurant. There are some restaurants I like.
Right.
And there are some restaurants that I would only go to on a shop.
Right.
So it varies. There are some who do it so much that I can go in, or someone can go in. I'm not going to go in that many times. 4 or 5 times a month for different aspects of it. Some is at the bar. Some is at a table. Some is afternoon. Some is lunch. Some is dinner. Some is weekend.
So do you eat out almost every meal?
Don't I look it? But no.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. How much time do you put in on an average week, if there is such a thing?
There actually is no such thing, yeah. Because there are other things I do, like edit books, that take up a lot of the time. Yeah. And I don't pick them that much. And also, I don't get everyone I apply for. It's not like if I apply, I'm going to get it. I will apply to perhaps 10 shops for a particular month and get 3 from one of the companies. And then it's fill in the others. At one time, when I first started it, I went crazy. You know, you apply for everything kind of thing. And I did a trip from Nashua, New Hampshire, which is where I live, to Keene. And during that trip, I stopped and shopped 7 gas stations, 2 retail places, and 1 restaurant. It was an all-day trip.
Wow.
I don't do that anymore because you get a little picky as you get a little older. But I used to do, I could have gone out for coffee almost every day, for lunch almost every day, and for dinner 3, 4, 5 times a week if I really put my mind to it and worked at it. Frankly, I don't have enough money to do that because you pay for it and they reimburse you in a month and a half.
Mm. Yeah. Well, when you first started out and the application process, what are they looking for? What made you qualified to do any of this?
I mean, it's
such
that
a
I'm brilliant?
Broad spectrum of things. I mean, it really is. What are they looking for?
Well, first, they want to make sure you can speak the language.
Yeah, that helps.
That you can
I'm
write.
I'm still working on that.
That you can write in English so that they don't have to rewrite everything. That's a really important thing. Mm-hmm. They want people who can pay strict attention to detail. And they're very involved in the sense that when I write a report, I will say, for instance, we got into the parking lot at 7:02, walked into the restaurant at 7:03. The front door had smudges on the outside door. The landscaping was fine, but there was some debris in the middle. The host greeted me warmly by saying, welcome to whatever, and smiled. That's very important.
And that's what you meant by you can fall into the trap of getting too picky.
No, not to me. As far as I'm concerned, there's no such thing as too picky.
Okay.
If I write something that's extremely picky, the editor can always take it out.
All right.
I don't see the reports after I send them in, and I rarely, if ever, get feedback other than a score. You know, you got 10 out of 10 or 9 out of 10 or whatever, but I do not get any real feedback except one time. Because I caught a bartender stealing.
Ooh. So they must have probably wanted a little bit more detail on
Well,
that.
What had happened is I was sitting at the bar, and I got served. Another couple came in, and the bartender asked them what they were drinking and served them a drink and never went to the register.
Never rang it in, of course.
So didn't ring it in at all. A little later, they got another drink from the other bartender who did ring it in and put the slip on the bar. They then went somewhere. All of a sudden, I turned around. They weren't there. So being nosy, I sidled over and got the check number and put it in my report. That's the only time I got a thank you, because giving them the check number allowed the ultimate client to know whether the check was paid, voided, or still open.
Right. being on the end that I am, I pretty much, Alan, anybody can become a mystery shopper.
Right.
You can. And is Goodwin must be one of the ones that you work for?
That is one of the companies.
Yeah,
yes.
I had done it a few times, and as a owning a restaurant, when we used to do them, you can detail them the way, you know, that you want. Like, you know, there's certain things that they're supposed to do at the diner, the staff and all. And mm-hmm. I can say, make sure they're, you know, asked to go to the bathroom, and where are they directing you and how
custom
are they? You can custom it. Exactly.
A bathroom check is part of every single shop I do. Period.
Great. Thank you.
Every single shop.
That's the biggest turn off in the world.
It is.
Yes, they're
horrible.
There's not much worse than walking mm-hmm. in and seeing mm-hmm. dirt and litter and mm-hmm. a really unclean bathroom. Mm-hmm. But I do a bathroom check in every single shop that I do. I used to do them when I did gas stations. I would do a bathroom check there too. Everybody wants to make sure the bathroom's being taken
yeah,
care of.
Of course.
It's remarkable though how some large, very large national chains don't stay on top of that. They don't train their managers to stay on top of that. And you don't forget that. I know there's a in Manchester, there's a large hardware chain, and I will not go back to that store for that very reason. And it was disgusting. So
yeah, one of the big things they're usually looking for in a restaurant is the attempt to upsell, because that's where the profit is. Mm-hmm. If you, for instance, in a movie theater, if you order a popcorn, they always should say, would you like to make that a large for only 50 cents more? Because that 50 cents more is probably 48 cent profit.
Or extra butter or whatever.
Whatever.
Right.
But they always want to upsell. If you order liquor, they want to know, right, did the server ask if you wanted a premium brand? Because it costs more, therefore they make more.
Airports. Airport diners. Airport bars.
Very well, airports, very, you always, they always ask if you want doubles.
Yeah.
But not
for $4 more, we can give you a double.
Give you a double. Yeah, but they don't do that around, you know, they don't do that in restaurants, though.
No.
You notice that? It's funny.
Yeah.
It's whenever you fly, they always ask you if you want doubles.
Because you're not driving.
Ah, that makes sense.
Very good point.
That is a very good point. I never thought of it that way.
The restaurants.
That makes sense.
The rules are very strict.
Yeah,
and I don't know the rules, actually, but I know the rules are strict.
Yep.
That if someone is drunk and you serve them,
it's
going to cost you a lot of money.
Big trouble. Yeah.
It's going to cost you a fortune.
Yeah.
So they don't want that. But it's a big thing to upsell to a premium brand. Did they offer a second drink before the drink was completely empty?
Right.
That's another one, because if there's a time lag, that means over the course of a night, you're drinking one fewer drink.
Right.
And that's bad.
You know, it's funny that we're talking about this right now, because we do need to go on a break. So I'll end with this, and then we're going to go on a break. But we went to Ignite last night,
mm-hmm.
and we always sit at the bar when we go places. And we sat at the bar, and, you know, it's Monday, so I mean, I wasn't going to have a drink. But she comes over to us, and she says, would you like some water? And we always drink water. So it's like we kind of like went, yeah, we'll each have a water, one with lemon, one without. And do you know that she never asked us if we wanted a drink? Isn't that strange?
Did she ask if you wanted bottled water or sparkling water?
Because
that's part of the upsell.
Nope. But not that I wanted one anyway. I mean, if I wanted one, I would have said, hello.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But she never offered, never like came back over and said, so would you like, you know, something to drink? Which I really thought was funny.
She's lucky it wasn't a mystery shop that it
yeah.
was me.
Yeah.
Right.
But I, you know, I kind of like stuck in my head. I'm like, wow, we're even at the bar.
Right.
You know? So, but anyway, it was just a...
Because the other thing that happens, in addition to that, they want to make sure that the server offers an appetizer
or
a dessert.
She did
Those
do
are
that.
All,
she did do that.
The more you do like that, the bigger the check.
Of course.
The bigger the check, the better the profit, and the better the tip.
The better
they
the
should
tip.
Realize that.
Of course.
Right? Because
of course.
The tip is everything, what they're there for when
that's
you come
right
down.
Of course. Course.
But that's always a very, very big thing is yeah. did they offer this? Did they offer that? Did they upsell this? Did they upsell that?
Mm-hmm. All right. You are listening to Food for Thought, 1077 WTPLFM.com. And we are in studio with Joe Ross. We're talking about mystery dining. And when we come back, I'm going to ask him some names of places that he's mystery shopped. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 1077 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And in for Mike today is my friend Alan Vonderhoff, author of Searching for Mary. And he's just about finishing, finally, his Searching for Margarita.
The epic story. Yeah. I have a quick question for you, Joe. Does any government agencies ever use your service, especially where liquor, alcohol is concerned?
Not that I know of. Well, at least not for me.
Right.
But that doesn't mean they don't.
They haven't gone through the...
Nobody has dealt with a company that for whom I work.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer for me is no.
All right. Okay.
Interesting. We're in studio with Joe Ross. He's a mystery diner. And so, Joe, you might... you're definitely the professional mystery diner. You've been to hundreds of not only restaurants, but retail shops, gas stations, banks too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, banks too. And you must have some story that you can come up with, like some memorable something that has happened in any establishment.
Yeah, other than the one where I caught the guy stealing, which is an unusual, frankly, a very unusual thing. It does happen, but not terribly often, you'll be glad to hear. I went to a very high-end restaurant once, which shall remain nameless, and the person I was with, when I go to a restaurant, I always take somebody with me. The rule is that they must order a different item from what I order. And my guest ordered lamb chops, and it was delivered with all the usual hullabaloo. And it's very high-end, so, white gloves with the waiters and very, very high-end. Served the meal, and it had a mint jelly that wasn't green. And, of course, we all know mint jelly is supposed to be green, right? Well, this was not. It did taste like mint, but it was not green. And the guest asked the waiter if he could get green jelly. The waiter tried to explain that that really was mint. And the guest said, I understand that you're saying that, but I really would like to have green mint jelly. And the waiter said, let me go check with the chef. And he disappeared, and he came back a couple of minutes later and put a bottle of Smucker's on the table.
No way.
Wow.
Now, that's an excuse to laugh, which is very difficult not to do under that circumstance, because it's a high-end restaurant. Who serves Smucker's? Even if you're going to serve Smucker's, which I don't object to, put it in a little Petri dish.
Was it green, I hope?
Oh, yes. It was green.
I know, I never heard of green Smucker's jelly.
I haven't either.
But it must be mint jelly.
Evidently. But it was mint jelly.
All right.
That was not the laugh, of course, was that it was in a Smucker's bottle.
Right, because in those kinds of places, I know, it's like taboo to ask for ketchup. And then if they bring it out, it certainly wouldn't be in the bottle. It would be like in a little ramekin or something.
It depends upon the restaurant.
Right.
If you go into Friendly's, you're going to get a bottle.
Well, yeah, of course. If you go into the Red Arrow Diner, you're going to get a bottle.
If you go into a high-end restaurant, you're going to get it in a little dish.
White dish,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then sometimes it's not even proper to ask for it in certain places.
And other places, it's automatic. If you order French fries, they will generally bring you a container of ketchup. My big bugaboo is hot and cold. I'm a great believer that hot food should be hot. Cold food should be cold. Nothing should be in the middle.
Right.
True. That is true. That is true. So where, on your days that you're not a professional shopper, where do you like to go eat?
For a middle, I like, for instance, the Weather Vane. It's a chain, but it's very nice, and they've always treated us well and done.
But where do you go to a Weather Vane now in Maine?
Nashua.
Nashua has a Weather Vane? I never knew that.
They do, and it's a very, very good one, too, I would tell you.
That was my very first job.
Really?
The one in Bedford that closed.
Oh, that's closed now?
Yeah.
Okay, because I thought there was one out that way.
Yeah, it's one right on 101, and that's the one that I worked at, gosh, like 20 years ago. Long time ago. 25 years ago, more than that.
The Nashua location is still open and going strong. That's my wife's favorite because she is highly allergic. and they listen. Worst problem is people who don't listen, or cooks who can't read or choose not to read. Very often, I prefer hamburgers, for instance, without cheese. So when I order, I always say, I'll have a hamburger, no cheese. And invariably, well, probably half the time or more,
you'll get cheese.
They come out with cheese. And the waitress or waiter, of course, is very upset because they immediately think their tip has just gone to blazes. I do not do that, because my philosophy is, if you wrote it correctly, you did what you're supposed to do. If the cook can't read, that's not your fault. And I tip as if the service, based on what the service is. But I will not take that off as a way to reduce the tip. I will not reduce the tip because the food came out wrong.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, in all fairness, you know, she could have not punched it in correctly. She could have hit cheeseburger by accident. So you just got to kind of, you know, there's both sides to that.
What's
so,
your, of course. What's but, your farthest, how far will you drive? What's your geographical area?
In theory, it's within 10 or 15 miles. But, you know, if you right. send me to
Keene.
Well, that was, I don't do that anymore. That's too
you
far.
You ever go to Portsmouth?
No.
No.
I've gone to Portsmouth once or twice, right. not often.
All right.
If you tell me that you want me to go to a really, really high-end restaurant and it happens to be further out, I'll go. One of the ones I applied for was a restaurant that was in Cranston, Rhode Island.
Really?
But that was a high-end restaurant where the budget is big. You could tell by the budget.
All right.
The low ends will tell you, okay, you're going out to dinner and you can spend up to $35. I won't even apply for that because you can't eat for two, order an appetizer, a drink, and a dessert, and two entrees for $35 unless you're in Burger King. So I won't apply for that.
Right.
I will apply for one if they say, oh, the budget is $200 for dinner. I'm up. I'm right there.
Yeah.
If you're going to pay me $200 worth of food, I'm there. That's going to be a high-end place. And that I think that's the most expensive I've ever had a budget.
Wow.
Is $200 for dinner. I've even had one that was $200 and I went over.
Ooh. So what happens when that happens? You just...
It's mine.
You right. eat it.
Right. You eat it.
Exactly. But it was good. It was good food. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're listening to Food for Thought, and we are talking with Joe Ross. He is a professional mystery diner, and it's been very interesting. Very interesting.
And you're a man of many things, though.
Yes,
so
I am.
So sometime maybe in the future we can find out.
Sure,
your
I also.
Endeavors.
Well, we can always talk about the cookbook that I published, which is Happy Heart Cookbook. Low cholesterol cooking.
Where can they find that, Joe?
They can find that at Rostrum Publishing. That's Rostrum with two S's, Rostrum, publishing.com.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming into Food for Thought.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Stay tuned. Gene Kerr, Northeast Flavor, will be up next. We'll be right back.